Amen. Can we give God a praise clap for how awesome He is and how amazing He is? I'll tell you, I'm just excited about what the Lord is doing. You know, you look around, and it's a little different this morning, especially if you've been with us on this ride that we've had called Life Community Church, what God is doing and leading. And I want to tell you, I kind of like this morning having more space to walk around, okay? I like that a little bit because I felt claustrophobic over at the Logsdon Center, so I feel good this morning. I'm feeling all right. But thank you all for coming to worship with us at our first Sunday at Seven Hills School. And I just want to tell you, God has been just so good giving us this facility. You can look around and you can see today that we have a lot of room to grow. We have a lot of room. We have more chairs that we have that are just ready to be filled. And you know, God has given us a great children's space back there, which is just going to open up more doors for us to minister and reach out to our kids, and just absolutely amazing what the Lord is doing. But there's no question today that it's a little bit different than what we have been used to. And I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be different. This whole ride is not going to look anything like what we're used to. It's going to continually change. It's going to continually look different. Once we get comfortable, it's going to change. And that's just kind of what God is going to do at Life Community Church. I want to read you a passage of Scripture this morning. And it's from the book of Numbers. So if you would turn to the book of Numbers this morning. And as you do that, your program has some stuff on there. We're only going to look at just one passage of Scripture, and then there's more there for you to understand, and we'll talk about why that's there here in a second. But Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse 24 says this, "But since my servant Caleb has a different spirit," did you hear that? "Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me completely, I will bring him into the land where he is gone, and his descendants will inherit it. But since my servant Caleb has a different spirit." Father, thank you for the word. May you lead us and guide us today as we just study your passages of Scripture. May you, Lord, speak to us through it. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you a story this morning from the Bible. You know, you may remember when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. This is a long, long time before Jesus, you know, thousands of years before Jesus. And this is when the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt. And there they were under the slavery of Pharaoh. And God brought up Moses. And Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. Y'all remember that story? Nod your head if you remember that story. Well, you remember that when they left Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, and then they landed in what was called the wilderness. Basically, it was a desert-type area with mountains, and it was rugged and stuff like that. And a lot of them wondered, okay, we left Egypt to come out here to the desert. Why? Well, God spoke through Moses, and Moses told the people, well, this ain't where we're going to stay at. This is actually just a place we're going to camp at for a little while. And over that valley, over that river, what we're going to do is we're going to take this place called the Promised Land. And the Promised Land is a place that God has given us. It has vegetable, it has livestock, it has fertile ground, it has this, it has that. It's where we're going to land at. Now, we're going to be in the desert for a little while, but then we're going to take the Promised Land. And God told Moses to select 12 men from each tribe of Israel to go spy out the land. They had one job, and that job was to press forward into the Promised Land and to discover what it was like and to come back and report back. Well, sure enough, the story goes that that's exactly what they did. They left for 40 days, and they were up in that desert area. They were going up, looking at it. They actually brought back a cluster of grapes, which was so big from this land that they had to carry it on a pole. And they came back and they said, "Moses, this place is awesome that we're going to go. It is amazing. I mean, the grapes are as big as your head. You know, I mean, they are gigantic in this place. I mean, this place, it's not like the desert. It's not like Egypt. This is the Mac Daddy of all places. This is awesome. This is a great place. But Now, you ever had that happen before? Where you hear really, really great news and you're waiting for the but. And they say, but, Moses, it's awesome. Yes, there's grapes as big as your head in this place. But there's also as people that are big there too. And there's giants in the land. Actually, most commentators believe that they probably really weren't giants as much as these people were exaggerating because they were so scared. They looked buff, they were tough. You know, they're like, you know, these barbarians that lived in the land. And they said, we're just like grasshoppers. And they're giants. I mean, the place is awesome. But we can't do this. This is beyond us. This is too big for us. There's no way. We're just a bunch of people that grew up in slavery, living out in the desert. We can't take these giants on. We're just grasshoppers in their eyes. And sure enough, as they just began to gripe and complain and whine a little bit, Caleb rose up. He was one of the 12 spies. Him, and the Bible also tells that Joshua did as well. Both of them rose up. And Caleb said, what are you talking about? Did we not witness the plagues in Egypt? Did we not see God take a body of water and pull it in half for us to walk across? Did we not go across on dry land? Did we not sit out here in the desert and see the fire of God fall down and the pillar of smoke by day? Have we not seen that? Caleb stands up. He says, you know what? We need to take this place. We need to do it. We need to man up, trust in God, and do it. But sure enough, as Caleb was pushing for that, the other people had a louder voice. The majority had a louder voice. And they began to whine more, cry more, complain more. There's no way. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. The people begin to spread the report. And they all say, well, we need to elect the new Moses. He's not doing us any good. We need to elect the new Moses. And that might be the first form of congregational vote in the Bible. I'm not for sure. But let's elect a new leader for us today. Let's elect a new leader. And let's go back to Egypt and submit ourselves back to slavery. Think about that for a second. They walked through the Red Sea. And because they were scared, they were willing to go back to what? Slavery. Caleb and Moses and Aaron and Joshua, they stand up crying. They tear their clothes and they say, no, guys, you don't understand. God is able. God is with us. God can do this. They still doubt it. Then all of a sudden, in the midst of them trying to elect a new Moses to go back to slavery, something happens. God shows up. And I just imagine the tabernacle, if you know a little bit about the Old Testament, where they worshiped God at, the fire began to blaze. I can just see that happening. And all of a sudden, God speaks. And everybody in that entire community, thousands and thousands of people, just shut up. Why? Because God's speaking. And God says this, did I not bring you out of Egypt? Did I not split the Red Seas? Did I not do this? Did I not do that? Have I not been with you? You worried that the giants in the land are going to eat your children. That's what they said. They were worried about that. They said, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. Because you all doubt it. Because you all got scared. This entire generation will get exactly what you wanted. Not to go into the promised land. You all will spend 40 years in the desert, 1 year for each day they explored the land. The whole generation, you will live in the wilderness, eating bird and bread from heaven. That's all you're going to get for 40 years because you doubt it. But these kids that you were afraid were going to be eaten, no. They're going to raise up and be the army that will take the land. The whole generation, and by the way, Moses was part of that generation, except for two people. And two people will be allowed to go into the promised land. You want to take a guess who they were? Caleb and Joshua. Sure enough, they had to sit there for 40 years waiting. And they got older. You know, when it came time to invade the promised land, they were old. They were older guys. But now they were commanders of an army that was going to take the promised land. And God specifically says, he says, my servant Caleb is going to go into this because he has a different spirit. A spirit that's not like the whiners and the complainers and the gripers. It's a different spirit. One that actually trusts in God and believes that God can do it. For me personally, I've never really had a problem being different. I really haven't. Actually, I felt like I've been an oddball my entire life. You know, it seems like every picture I take, I'm doing some sort of awkward, kind of weird picture like that. I always feel out of place wherever I go. I never feel like I'm dressed appropriately ever. You know, maybe I'm just totally insecure. You never know. But I've always felt just different. I really have. I mean, you know, guys like NFL and sports. I like Star Wars. You know, it's just who I am. That's just who I am. You know, it's just me. You know, it's just me. And I've always had this knack for just being a little bit different. So it was kind of only natural when I was 13 years old for God to tell me to do something different. And I was at a little Baptist camp outside of our area here in Pellville, Kentucky. And I was 13 years old and God called me to preach. And I did. I answered that call at the age of 13. I preached my first sermon a month later at a local church here in Owensboro. It's a little different. I was a teenager preaching. I was a teenager in college preaching. It was just different. So it was only natural a few years ago that I began to feel the call again to do something different, and that was to start a church with my family. And we felt that call of God. It's a little different. It's a little bit safer to be in an established church where you have stability, you have, you know, offerings that are consistent, you have buildings, you have this, you have that. It's very stable. It's very safe. But that's just not what God had for us. We've always been a little different. We've always been just kind of different. That's just me. It's just who I am, you know. It's just me. And I don't apologize for that. I'm just me. And so when we felt the call to plant a church, Life Community Church, guess what? It was going to be a different kind of church. And we felt the Lord calling us to do that. We didn't want to do the same thing over and over and over. We didn't. We wanted to do something different. We want to do something new. Now, for most Baptists, when you say the word different, that's just like the most phallus word in the language ever. You know, oh, don't do anything different. We've been doing this for 300 years, and that's the way it's going to stay. Praise God, you know. But that's just not what God called us to do. The reality is this. Every year, 3,500 to 4,000 churches in the United States close their doors forever. 3,500 to 4,000 churches in the United States shut down every year. Guys, I just don't want to lead us into that, do you? I mean, if 5,000 churches can shut down in a year in the United States, something's not working. Something's not right. Something's wrong with that system. In regards to that, we only are seeing planted about 1,500 new churches a year. Do the math. We're losing anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 churches a year, but we're only gaining 1,500 churches a year. Is there a problem with that? Yeah. Something's broke. Something's not working. And we got to wake up and realize that doing the same thing the same way will not produce different results. It will not. You have to do something different if you want a different outcome. So when God began to speak to us about planting a church, we weren't just going to copy everything else. We weren't going to. We felt the Lord leading us to do something different. Something that would win people to Jesus. Something that would make an eternal difference. I'm standing before you today telling you that we're really not concerned about buying a building. We're really not concerned about buying land. We're concerned about people. And we're concerned about God. You know what, as far as I'm concerned, if we could just grow in a rented facility for as long as we can, investing our money into people and helping people discover Jesus and utilizing our homes and helping them to understand what it means to know Jesus in a real way, I say praise God for that. I say praise the Lord for that. They wandered in the wilderness for a long time. Now, are we going to one day have a building? Yeah. I mean, you know, Derek's back, Michael's back, you know, William's back, all these guys at Hosta, they ain't going to last forever, okay? So yeah, one day we're going to get a building, all right? But hear me, that's just not our focus. It's not our focus. Our focus is glorifying God. It's giving God the praise and glory. And you know what? I look around and I envision all kinds of people on this side. And all kinds of people back there. And all kinds of people here. And you know what I envision? I envision that when this fills up, we do two services.
And we keep building the kingdom, not just property and bricks and mortar and land, but people and the Spirit of God and watching what God does. One day I envision Life Community becoming a church planting church. That was something that God laid on our heart, that this would be a church that would start other churches. Maybe we'd get to 300, 400, 500 people, and then we'd send a group to up north, or a group out west, or a group down to Florida or Texas, or maybe just across town to start new churches, to start new churches for God's kingdom. That's what I'm seeing, and that's what I'm feeling God laying on our heart, that Life Community will become a church that touches people for Jesus Christ. Our mission statement, living for Christ, that they'll be connected to Jesus in a real way, learning from Christ, involved in small groups and learning from each other, and the Spirit of Christ moving in that, and then loving Christ by telling people everywhere about Jesus, and then serving Jesus in their community. I see this church as just being different. I see God doing something different at Life Community Church. It's not for everybody, but it is for us. And I'm looking at all of you, and I know it's for you, because many of you all are hauling equipment, hauling chairs, all for the cause of just one hour and a half, or whatever, of worship every Sunday. I know you want something different. I know you feel it. And I know God's going to give it to us, of seeing people saved. Now, here's the thing, too, I know. I know also that God wants you to be different. He doesn't want you to go with the flow of everybody else. Did you know that? He doesn't want you to live a life that is mediocre, or a life that is not living up to what God called you to be. He wants you to be on fire for the Lord. He wants you to be growing and developing as a Christian. He wants that in your life. Now, here's the reality. When you begin to do different things for God as a church, or when you begin to stand up and live for the Lord and to be different in that way, I want to tell you something. The crowd will always be negative. Now, did you hear me on that? The crowd will always be negative. And the crowd will always naysay. If we desire to live for the Lord and do great things for the Lord, there's going to be some people that will really surprise us that will come against us. Why? I don't know. But it happens. I'm just preparing you for it. I'm just being honest with you. If you desire to live for God, leave a life of sin, there will be people at your work that will just not like that. And they will just throw a fit about that. But I want to tell you two things real quick, and it's in your notes. A different church makes a difference. And a different people makes a difference. If you let God just take you to where He wants to take you and to do with you what He wants to do with you, I want to tell you something. You will make a kingdom impact. And God will do that. So here's the question. How do we do that? How do we make a difference? Let's study the life of Caleb real quickly. If you're following along in the notes, let's look along real quick. First, we got to go against the majority. And here's why. Because the majority had doubt. Caleb had faith. If you have your Bibles open, you look at verse 29. And it says, they reported, the majority, the crowd, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it was flowing with milk and honey, and here's some of its fruits. So they held up the grapes, and they said, it's there. There's proof in the pudding. It is there, okay? However, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and wah, 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 wah. That's all it is. We can't do this. We can't do that. We can't do this. We can't do that. We're all going to die. The spies saw the land. They saw the potential. They saw it. They were holding the grapes. They had it. And they doubt it. They doubt it. They could see it. They could touch it. But they still did not believe they could have it. They were afraid. They would go on to say that the land seemed like grasshoppers, that they seemed like grasshoppers in the eyes of the people. But not Caleb. Caleb loved God. Caleb remembered the promises of God. He remembered what the Lord had done. He saw it. And Caleb stood up and he had faith. He trusted in God. Yes, they were big. Yes, the cities were hard, but they could do it because they had faith. As a church, look around. This is hard work. You see that? This is hard work. Everything you are seeing is hard work. It is. From the sound equipment to the hauling of it to the storing of it, it's hard work. To the kids that are back there now, you know, that are and our helpers that are helping them and teaching them this morning. It's hard work. It's a lot of hard work. And, you know, you think about, you know, how do we do this or that when God sends more people to us? Or how do we? It's hard work. And there's many of us today that might think, man, you know, wouldn't it just be so nice if we could go back to the Logsdon Center and just stay a church of about 50 to 60 people? Wouldn't that be nice? It wouldn't be nice, Jerry. It wouldn't. We'd be another statistic on the wall, man. That's all we would be. We got to press forward. It will be hard. It will. It'll be really hard. Listen, let me tell you three things that you can expect wondering with Life Community. You can expect frustrations. Just telling you. You can expect frustrations. When you haul this much equipment and you're plugging it into, Lord knows if the breaker box will hold or not, I have no idea, all right? A guy from the KBC, Kentucky Baptist Convention, told me, he said, man, you really need to move in 2 weeks before Easter in case everything blows up, okay? So you don't want that to happen. Expect frustrations. It'll be hard. Expect fatigue. You'll get tired. You'll get tired of hauling the boxes out over and over and over. You'll get tired of that. Expect financial challenges of growing and becoming self-sustainable. Expect that. Wow, Kenny, you're doing a great job to promote membership class next Sunday, aren't you? Yes. Praise the Lord, yes. But I'm just trying to paint it for real for you. I'm just trying to be for real. This is what you're signing up for at Life Community. I mean, it's the real deal. But here's the thing. We can focus on fatigue, frustrations, financial, etc. But you know what? Our God is still bigger than all of that. Did you know that? He's still bigger than all of that. When you're weak, the Bible says He is strong. Isn't that cool? Sometimes God just lets you wear yourself out so He can work. So He can work. Say, go, just go ahead and do it. You'll run empty, and then I'll finally take over, and things will be all right. It takes faith. Faith overcomes frustrations. Faith overcomes fatigue. Faith overcomes financial struggles and challenges. Now, for you personally, as you step up for what God has for you, let me tell you, you'll face some other things. You'll face ridicule if you decide to live for God. You'll face rejection if you decide to live for God. You'll face regret and remorse. Can God really forgive me of what I've done? Can God really forgive me of my sin? And again, the solution to that is faith. Hey, you know what? If your friends reject you because you follow Jesus, the Lord will comfort you. If your friends ridicule you, you will be blessed for honoring the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed, the Bible says. If you feel like you can't be forgiven for what you've done, you just need to turn to 1 John. And it says, if any man confesses his sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive his sin. It's good news today. See, Calebs are different. Calebs don't live in doubt. Calebs live in faith. But second, the majority discouraged and Caleb encouraged. I love this. Verse 31 of chapter 13 says, but the men who had gone up with him responded, we can't go up against the people because they are stronger than we are. So, now look at verse 32. So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land they had scouted. The land we passed through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it were men of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak that come from the Nephilim. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers. And we must have seemed the same to them. They said, man, these dudes are huge. And they were big guys. But they were exaggerating because they were so full of fear. They called themselves grasshoppers. And they called the people giants. They said, they're just going to eat us. They're just going to eat us if we go in there. Just chomp down on us and kill us. That's what they're going to do. But I love in chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, chapter 14, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, they who were among those who scouted out the land, tore their clothes. And they said to the entire Israelite community, "The land we passed through and explored is extremely good land. It's good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us." One group stood before the community and they said, "We're doomed." The other group stood before the community. It was just Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were leading it. And they stood and they said, "No, we're blessed." Now, those are very different opinions. Is that fair to say? We're doomed, we're blessed. We're doomed, we're blessed. Sadly, negativity is contagious more so than encouragement. Did you know that? People listen to negativity more than they do positivity. So let me explain that. When they begin to unpack this, "Oh, we're grasshoppers, we're all going to die," they believed them. They believed them more than Joshua and Caleb, who said, "No, God has this. God can do this." And negativity began to spread. The majority always loves negativity. They love negativity. The majority are not just lovers of negativity. They are also propagandists. They are also they also are spreaders of negativity. You ever notice that? A person that's negative can't just be negative by themselves. They have to be negative with other people. Am I right about that? They have to have somebody else on the pity party with them. Exactly what the Israelite community did. Hey, as we press forward as a church, let me tell you something. Fight negativity. When we see a challenge at Life Community, you know, okay, this isn't working out, or we got to have this to make it work, or this or that. Instead of just saying, "Well, this is just over, this is the end, blah," be positive. See how God can move in that weird situation. See how God can take care of that. Don't be negative. Look at it as a challenge for how God can use you to step up to the cause to get it done and to make it happen. You personally, as a Christian who is giving your life to Christ, or maybe you're not a Christian yet and you are hearing the negativity, don't give your life to Jesus. Don't be saved. Don't follow Christ. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. They're going to make you miserable if you keep listening to them. Some folks will work on you day and night to quit you to come to church. Some folks will work on you day and night to make you quit believing in Jesus. Some will just try so hard to make you doubt. Isn't that sad that people do that? But they do. Am I right? They do. So be a man and woman of encouragement. When you see a hard thing, pray and trust God and be positive that God can see you through it. Negativity is the way the majority goes. Encouragement is the way that those who love Jesus go. And the third point I want you to see is this. And this is so important. The majority died and Caleb thrived. So important for you to catch this. As you press forward in the scriptures, when God shows up, He just hears and listens until He just is through with it and He speaks. And God says, "Yet as surely as I live, and as the whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory, none of the men," did you hear that? "None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tested me these 10 times and did not obey me, they will never see the land I swore to give to their fathers." They're not going to get it. They all whined. They all doubt it. They don't get it. The end. It's over. They're all going to die out here in the wilderness. But He says in verse 24, "But since my servant Caleb has a different spirit." Remember us reading that from the beginning? "But since he has a different spirit and has followed me completely," listen to what it says later. "I will bring him into the land where he has gone." And check this part out. Say this part with me. Read it with me. "And his descendants will inherit it." Not only did old Caleb get to go into the land, and old Joshua get to go into the land, but their babies, and their grandbabies, and their grandbabies, and their grandbabies were leaders of the land. Leaders of the land. See, the majority did not trust in God. And what happened? They got what they wanted. They didn't get the promises of God. They died in the desert. Caleb, Joshua trusted. And they got to thrive and be leaders, which is so amazing. Listen, as a church, if the church follows the will of God, we will be out of the box. I'm telling you, we will. We'll have to do things that are crazy and out there. I like what John Ortberg said. He said, you can't walk on water until you get out of the boat. I think it's true. You really can't do that until you get out of the boat. But I'm going to tell you this. As God grows Life Community, and we're in this thing for this crazy journey that's before us, I'm going to tell you something. God's going to bless. Your kids are going to get saved. They're going to get saved. And God's going to do a great work in this community. We're going to plant other churches from this church one day. And that's what God is calling us to do. One day we'll have a facility to call our own. God will do that. You, most importantly, if you follow Jesus today, if you are on the edge about giving your life to Jesus, let me tell you something. If you go with the flow and everybody else, Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to what? Destruction. You go the way everybody goes, and hell is sure to be at the end of that road. That's the end. That's the destination. But for those who follow the narrow road, and they give their life to Jesus, and for God so loved the world that whosoever calls upon, or and for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. If you trust in God, life is ahead of you. People that reject God die. People that follow God live. It's that simple. It's that simple. I want to tell you real quick, and then in closing, and I'm done, about one person who was different. And he was so different that he changed everything. So different that today we are here at Life Community Church because of him. 2,000 years ago, God became flesh in the form of a man. He took the form of a man, and his name was Jesus Christ. He was all God, all man. And he wasn't what they expected. They had longed for the Messiah for so long. They had longed for Jesus to come. But when he came, he wasn't what they expected. He was different. He wasn't a political leader, which is what they hoped for. He wasn't going to overthrow Rome, which is what they wanted. No, he came preaching repentance. And he came preaching about the kingdom of God. And you know what? He wasn't born in a castle or in a palace. He was born in a barn in Bethlehem. He grew up in poverty. When Jesus walked this earth, he said, I have nowhere to lay my head. Which means what? He was a homeless man. He was homeless. He probably had just calloused hands from where he grew up in Joseph's carpentry shop and working on those. And when he came preaching something that was different, when he came preaching the kingdom of God is here, when he came preaching this and teaching this, the establishment did not know what to do with him. They were freaked out by this guy. Well, we think he's committing heresy. We think he's we think he's demon possessed, but yet again he's raising dead people back to life, and he's turning water into wine, and he's healing the blind, and he's healing the deaf, and he's doing all this. What do we do with him? Well, what do they normally do with folks that are different? They kill them. They kill them. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. But what they did not know was that his plan was even different than what they thought. The crucifixion was all part of God's plan to save us. And as Jesus went to that cross and he suffered, and he bled and he died. He did that for us. He did it for you. So you could be saved. Your sins forgiven. Life eternal inside of you. For you to step up, rise up, and to go against the flow. To be different. You know, God is calling you today to give that life to Jesus. If Life Community will ever be given to the Lord, it starts with us giving ourselves to him, right? With us giving ourselves to him. So my question is, do you have a different spirit today? Do you have a spirit of faith? If you were to die right now, do you know that you know that you know you're going to heaven? Is he in your heart? Have you been saved? Friend, if I was you and I didn't know today where I was going, my prayer to you is that you would make sure you know before you left. That you'd give your life to Christ, surrender to him, bow down and ask him into your life to save you and to trust in him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe some of you need to do that today. Maybe some of you are on the edge about whether or not Life Community is the church for you. And I might have just done a great job of scaring everybody away this morning. But it's real deal. It's what God's calling us to do. Whatever the Lord is working in your life today, I pray you'll answer his call. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, we love you. And Lord, we are praying for a different spirit at Life Community. A different spirit. Jesus, that you would open us up to the things of God so that we can love you and know you. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you and they need to be saved, God, I pray they'll come forward now. Lord, they give their heart to you and would trust in you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, put your hand on Life Community Church. God, I pray this church will grow. That God, that it would be your church and nobody else's church. So Lord, just do a great work. We pray in your name. Amen. We invite you to stand. If you need to come and pray, we invite you to do that. You're welcome to come and pray.